Barilla, good ball, Lautaro Martinez. It could be his night again. The man who scored the equaliser bags the go-ahead goal.
The Cultural Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas DiGiovanni. We want to bring Calcio back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Calcio Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The intro song is Fireworks by Jazar. A ninth Coppa Italia win for Inter today, a second trophy of the season for the Nerazzurri, and they're on their quest for the third one next week here on the Calcio Guys. It's just me and Gianni this week, me as a Nicholas. I think it's the first time it's just me and you, Gianni. We got the cousins on the show. Maybe we've done it once.
I guess so. I mean, like, I don't think there's another time that we've been on together. I can't recall. I'm pretty sure we probably have in our history maybe just one other time, but that's about it.
I think today's like maybe episode 190. So if you look back, yeah, 190 episodes, there had to be at least one time. But Coppa Italia today, Inter 2-1 Fiorentina. This is Inter's ninth win, as I said, tying Roma, five behind Juve. Fiorentina, they were actually, it would have been interesting if Fiorentina had won, because then it would have been Fiorentina with seven and Inter with eight, but it wasn't meant to be. And it continues to remain with the big clubs this trophy, even though there's been some smaller mid-table teams who have played in the finals over the years. As I said, 2-1. I feel like this was kind of a warm-up. We'll talk about it later in the show, Gianni. But the European finals, I feel like it was a bit of a warm-up for both teams, that Fiorentina is going to be playing the Conference League final, Inter in the Champions League final. I mean, do you think like both teams kind of had that game on their mind, or do you think it was just really,
of course,
like Coppa Italia?
Of course, like I always like to say, you know, true competitive players always want to play for a trophy, and they always have that intention of playing with a trophy in their mind. And I feel like as if they did fight through the fullest, both teams. You saw in the weekend games, you know, both teams decide not to play their top squad.
Yeah.
Besides maybe if you want to argue Inter using Onana in the Napoli game, they also used a bit of their main players, but more or less the reserve squad as well as Fiorentina. So they tried their hardest and they did want to win the Coppa Italia. But with that said, obviously you're focused on winning the Champions League or the Conference League. It's impossible that you're playing in a competition like that where you have the opportunity to win a European trophy and it's not on your mind. Impossible. Obviously you focus on the current task at hand, which is the Coppa Italia, which both teams did, but it is somewhere lurking in the back. And it's a testament to, like, both teams this season, you know, like, competitively, these teams, like, it makes sense that, like, they're, not only are they in their European finals, but they're also in the Coppa Italia final. It's not like as if they didn't merit a spot to be there. And every single one of these single elimination competitions, they've been performing at their best. So I'm not surprised that it's these two teams there, and I'm also not surprised that, respectively, they're in their European competition finals.
It's tough, eh? It's so tough, just to get to a final, right? Even
of course.
Like Coppa Italia, okay, you got to win, what, three games, I believe? Okay, semifinals is over two legs. Okay, sure, you have to win less, but it's still hard games in the middle of the season. You're focusing on Serie A. Champions League, we know Champions League is tough. Conference League is tough. We saw Fiorentina, they came back because they lost the first game against Basel 2-1, and then if I'm not mistaken, they even went down in the game. Or because I remember checking, and at one point it was you know, it seemed as if Basel was going to get to the final. And then next thing I know, oh, Fiorentina's in the final. Oh, cool, good for them. But no, it is really tough. I think I forget when the Conference League final is. I'll have to look that up. But
I think it's the end of May, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know the Europa League's May 31st, and the Champions League is June 10th, which is a Saturday. Wednesday, June 7th. So Fiorentina, West Ham. Pretty interesting game. It could be back-to-back Italian champions for in the Conference League. But we'll talk about that later. This game started off, Nico Gonzalez scored in the second minute. And then Lautaro just took over. Two goals before halftime. It kind of made me think of the Euro final where Luke Shaw scored, I think, in the third minute for England against Italy 2 summers ago. And, you know, it got all the English fans going. They're super happy. Obviously, a different, you know, type of game afterwards because it took a while for Italy to score. They scored, I think it was 67th minute, end up winning in penalties. But still, it's so hard. One of the worst things you could do is probably score that early sometimes because, like, obviously you're not going to defend a lead for 88 minutes. You need to get another goal, and you can't have the mentality like, oh, yeah, we're leading, you know, but then you are leading. But you don't want to get that into your head too much, especially for a team like Fiorentina, right? They haven't won the Coppa Italia in over 20 years. You know, they're not in this position often. But it was a nice goal. It was a nice goal. I think it was Kone who made the pass. But Lautaro just took over two goals. He's at 27 now on the season. I think we talked about him last week. He's honestly become one of the better strikers in Italy. He's become one of the more clutch strikers now. I know you saw the highlights, Johnny. What did you think of his performance?
Martinez is becoming like hot at the right time. Yeah. We've said it last. It was the last episode or episode before. Mentioned the fact that he's coming in when they needed him the most. And honestly, phenomenal performances for him. Getting a brace in a cup final is always good, especially when, like I said, you have the Champions League coming up. It just reinforces your positive mindset and like your confidence going towards the game. In terms of Fiorentina, I mean, like, it's probably, yeah, it's, I mean, like, yeah, it's first final since 2014. They tend to hit the semis quarters every once in a while from my recent memory. Like, I think this team's definitely going to go definitely going forward, know that, like, they're capable of getting there. Also, like, you're completely right. Usually when you get a goal early on, a lot of times you tend to take your foot off the gas, but I think it's not the case in this case for Fiorentina because, oh my God, who was the England coach?
Southgate.
I was about to say Bridgewater for some freaking reason. I don't know why. These English names sometimes. I don't know why I blanked out on Southgate.
North Fence.
South Hill. Eastern Tree. So Southgate, you know, like he completely parked the bus after that first goal. And that was his mistake because the possession afterwards was completely in Italy's favor and they punished him hard on that. I don't think that was the case for Italiano. I think Italiano still continued his system. He still continued his press. Also, like Jokic came really close a few times. It's Fiorentina after going down by one still pushed to get that tying goal. I honestly think it's not completely on. I don't think they played horribly. I think it's just unfortunately they just weren't able to score their goals. Whereas Inter was able to capitalize on them. So that's what I think it was. I think it was just a mere difference of Inter scoring versus Fiorentina not scoring. Because if you look at the hold on, I have the stat right here. Just give me a second.
Yeah,
I was just gonna
bring those up because on Google it says 19 shots for Fiorentina, 6 on target, 11 shots for Inter, 4 on target. 52-48 was a possession in favor of Fiorentina.
Here I have 51-49.
Yeah, so rounded up or rounded down, whatever.
Yeah, but I'm looking for it. I had the expected goals too somewhere. I'm just trying to find it. Give me a second. But I can't seem to find it right now. All I'm saying is that it was much closer than what the outcome was actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even for Inter, the fact that they played in this game last year, they played in the Supercoppa, I think, yeah, 2 years in a row now, right? They played in the Supercoppa 2 years in a row. Now they have the experience. And I think it did show because they were capitalizing. Obviously, Lautaro is a better player than Jovic. Like you said, he did miss his chances. Obviously, Handanovic made a few nice saves. But definitely the experience came out. Like, even just thinking coaching-wise, Simone Inzaghi, this is, I think it's his seventh final as a coach.
Or fifth trophy now with Inter?
Fourth, yeah. Sorry, fifth.
Yeah, there
no,
we go.
No, he didn't win the Scudetto. It was Conte won the Scudetto. It was two Super Coppa and two Coppa Italia. There you go.
So it's not his fourth. There you
fourth,
go.
Yeah. And then he won Coppa Italia and two Super Coppa with Lazio. And so he's really good in these one-off games. I don't know if it's... I wouldn't call it luck, honestly. Winning seven out of eight of these, that's honestly incredible. That's...
Yeah.
As a coach, it means he's a good motivator. Because there's only so many tactics you could come up with in a one-off game. At the end of the day, like, these teams have their tactics set. They've been practicing all season. The players are pretty tired at this point in the season. It's all about motivation. And he got the job done. I know there was obviously discussion going to the game from Inter fans, you know, okay, who to start, right? There's always this discussion now of whether or not to start Lukaku. He didn't start Lukaku. He started Dzeko with Lautaro. It worked out. It worked out. Lukaku did come on later as a sub, but it worked out. And I, like I kind of said before, this is really good practice for Inter, in terms of the game versus the Champions League final versus Man City, and even for Fiorentina, they're going to learn from their mistakes now, especially if they get into the final against West Ham and they score early. They'll learn from those mistakes. But I do think Fiorentina, they have to for sure hold their heads high. Their fans have to be proud of their team. You know, this opportunity doesn't come often, but as you said, they're one of those mid-table teams that go, like you said, quarterfinals, semifinals, an occasional final. But I don't know if you do want to talk about the European finals, if you had anything else to say about the Coppa Italia.
Nope, I didn't have much more, and I can't seem to find the expected goals category, unfortunately. I wanted to say it because I remember seeing it before. I'm like, oh, it's much closer than we think. And then my computer's like, yeah, John, you know what? Screw it. You're not going to find it. Oh, okay. Fine. Fair enough.
Well, one thing I will say, I honestly, seeing the posts on social media and everything, heading into the game, seeing the pregame ceremony with the national anthem sang by Gaia, and the whole presentation of Coppa Italia, honestly, it's a really nice tradition. They keep it simple, and it's really cool to see, you know, both sets of fans in the stadium. It's you know, it's perfectly neutral site. On one end, you got one set of fans. On the other end, you got another set of fans. It's really cool, and honestly, like, Juve's played in this game for the last 3 years. I think it's, what, 8 out of the last 9 Coppa Italia Juve has played in, so not seeing them in it made me a bit sad, honestly. It made me a bit sad. And I'm definitely jealous of both, you know, Inter and Fiorentina fans. Obviously, Juve would have been here instead of Inter if they had beaten them, but whatever, yeah, it is what it is. But
And if my grandmother had wheels, she would be a bike.
All that to say is the Coppa Italia, it's a really nice tradition.
It's a domestic trophy, and trophies are trophies. You always want to win. You always want to win these. You never want to just, like, be a passenger. You always want to be the main driving force for the championship. Or else you're not really a fan of sports if you don't want to win any competition. So,
yeah. By the way, I was on the Coppa Italia Wikipedia page, and it listed all the winners. And there's a note that says, although 75 tournaments have been contested, only 74 cups have been assigned. The 1926-27 edition was abandoned in the round of 32. So I'm thinking, okay, what happened in 1927? Maybe, you know, no, there's no war, Great Depression. So I click on the article. First line, yeah. The 1926-27 Coppa Italia was the second edition. No. It was abandoned in the round of 32 due to lack of interest. So,
what?
They just stopped playing in the round of 32. I guess there was not enough people who wanted to watch.
Okay, interesting. that's rather interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I learned something new today.
Yeah. The tournament abandoned due to total lack of interest. Okay.
Look at listen to that, viewers. Now you learned something new. That's a fun fact for you to, you know, tell at the espresso machine at work.
You go up to someone. So who won the 1927 Coppa Italia? There was no interest, bro. There was a 1926 and 1928, not in 1927.
The only interest that was happening was at the banks that year.
And there you go.
Your dad, Zio Tony, is having an influence on me with all these jokes.
European finals. Three Italian teams. Yes. Obviously, the first time this has ever happened, because first time there's, well, only second time there's three European finals.
It depends on what you consider European finals. Right. Back in the day, I mean, there was Champions League, UEFA Cup, and there was the Cup Winners' Cup.
Cup Winners' Cup. Okay, maybe I'll have to do a bit of research to see if there was ever a year with three Italian teams in those three competitions. But anyways, you get my point.
Yes.
Inter-Man City in Champions League final, Roma Sevilla in the Europa League final, and... as we just said, Fiorentina, West Ham in the Conference League final. We'll start with the Champions League. Man City just steamrolled over Madrid, Real Madrid, to get to the final. Obviously, Inter beat Milan. It's going to be an interesting final. Obviously, most of the soccer world has Man City winning it. But looking at Simone Inzaghi's track record in these finals, I'm not, like, if I'm a betting man, I'm still putting money on Man City. But I wouldn't be surprised if Inter actually pulls it off, especially given Man City's record in the Champions League too. They lost in the final. What was it, 2021 against Chelsea? It just seems like it's one of those teams that is not going to win the Champions League. It's a really interesting game. What do you think of it, Johnny?
Personally speaking, I think for Inter Man City, I don't know, man. Like we just spent time discussing how. Like Simone Inzaghi is somebody who can win a game in these single elimination competitions, right? So, like, you can't underestimate that fact, in my personal opinion. There is a bit of a fear for if you're City. Now, obviously, that's if you're a logical fan. City has also been extremely dominant this year. Like, as you said before, steamrolling their competition, steamrolling a Madrid that, I'm sorry, at the end of the day, it's Real Madrid in their actual competition, Champions League. That's no laughing matter. And they're managed by Ancelotti, one of the greatest managers of all time. So if you're an Interista, you're going into this competition with a bit of fear, obviously speaking. Like, you're like, okay, well, this is a serious team that we're going to have to face. Mind you, as I said before, with Inter's previous performances in cup finals, especially with Inzaghi at the helm, I wouldn't be too worried. Now, if I have to say who's going to be a winner, I'm using my brain and I'm going with City here. I think it's probably going to be something like a 3-1 finish. As good as Inzaghi is in finals, it's tough. It's tough versus this Man City team. And you know what? I think Pep is going to finally get, what, his second or it's his second Champions League title. He won one with Barca. No, it'd be his third. Did he win one with Bayern and one with Barca? I have to double check this.
Hold on. Barca in 2011. I don't...
Yeah, Pep Guardiola.
He wasn't... last time Bayern won was 2020. He wasn't manager then.
He won... That was 2013. He won two Champions Leagues, 2008-09 and 2000. And wait, why does it say 10-12? Isn't it supposed to be 10-11? Why does it say 10-12? I don't get it.
Well, 2012, that was Chelsea, so it would have been 2011 that won Barca.
Yeah, I think it was a typo. Yeah, so you won both with Barca. Anyways, there you go. So Pep's gonna probably win his third. Finally, after spending almost $1 billion just to build his team. You could spend so much. If you're Inter, this has been all pluses for you, because especially with how the prize money that you're earning has just basically been great for your team, especially after the dire financial situations that they've been. This is something that you're celebrating the outcome. Now, it could happen that all of a sudden, you know, Inzaghi has this like masterclass management game and just like shuts them down 1-0, especially with how hot Martinez has been playing. So I don't know, but it's like, do you honestly think a back tandem of like Acerbi and like, I don't know, any ex player is going to work against the force of Haaland getting assisted by De Bruyne and stuff? Like, it's, I know I'm talking in hyperboles and I know I'm talking generally, but you have to like, let's be logical about this. I mean, hey, if they win, they win. It's great. And that's great for Inter. I wouldn't be mad at all. I'd be fucking happy because I'd rather see an Italian team win versus an English team. And I know that you being a Juve fan, it's not what you're thinking. You'd rather die than see Inter win a Champions League, because then afterwards they're going to sing the song over and over again versus you guys. So,
I mean, at least if Inter wins, it's like, okay, they're the last Italian team to win. They're going to be the next Italian team. Okay, fine. If it was Napoli who won the Champions, oh boy, we wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, what's so bad about that, huh? No, I'm just kidding. No, but honestly, I wouldn't worry about Napoli winning any Champions League anytime soon. Like, I think they should just focus on, you know, earning that, like earning that consistency with winning the Scudetto. They've won one now. Let's see if they can keep on doing it. Like, worry about being a force in your domestic league before going after, like, the big fish. You know what I'm saying? And I said it before too. It's not a brand new concept that I brought up. We've had this discussion before. Like, you have to earn your place first before you actually go for other trophies. Anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on that. Yeah.
As I said, it's going to be tough. I still would say Man City is going to win. I think they're just so strong. I mean, Haaland is so strong. They have such a complete team. If Inter does pull it off, I think it would be like an extra time or like penalties. But yeah, at the end of the day, it is a one-off game. Anything could happen. But it's going to be tough. By the way, I did quickly look it up. In the period that the Cup Winners' Cup, UEFA Cup, and European Cup were all around, there was actually quite a few times where there was at least one Italian team in all three. I think it was like 94, 93. I have it here. So in 94, in 93, in 90, and I believe 84. No, I think it was just those 3 years where there was Italian teams in all three finals, including, if you look at, it's crazy, if you look at the UEFA Cup, which is the predecessor to the Europa League, there was an Italian team in every final from 89 through 95, including three all-Italian finals, which is pretty crazy. That's when Italian soccer was at its height, so it makes sense, right? But we'll stay on topic of the Europa League.
And also, fun fact, that's basically right when the Premier League started, and all of a sudden they started getting these massive influx of income. So it just goes to show what, mind you, skill, proper teams and skill still win in the end, but it just goes to show what money can do to the integrity of the sport. But anyways. I don't want to get off.
Exactly. And even in that period, like, the European Cup became a Champions League, and a lot changed financially in terms of business of the sport, for sure. Europa League, formerly known as the UEFA Cup. This is Sevilla's competition to lose. I'm not surprised they beat Juve, honestly. They needed to ride it till the end. But they get to the final. Roma gets to the final. This is honestly, I'm pretty excited about this one, even though I'm also sad about it. Again, another final I really wish Juve was in. But you got Sevilla, I think 6 or 7 time winners of the competition. They're just monsters in this. They won last one in 2020. And then Roma with Mourinho, who's never lost a European final. So something's going to have to give on May 31st in Budapest. Personally, honestly, I'm gonna even say Roma, just because they have that experience of the European final last year. I know Sevilla has, you know, plenty of experience as well, but it feels almost as if like they won the Conference League they got promoted to Europa League because of it. Now they're going to win Europa League. They're going to go back to the Champions League because of it. And it's almost as if they're really focusing on winning the Europa League to even make Champions League for next year. I know Sevilla's in the same position, but there's just something about this Roma team when it comes to European competition where they're just they're playing out of their mind, and honestly, I think they're going to win.
I'm feeling confident too, especially with Mourinho at the helm. He did it last year in the Conference League final, and he's going to do it again this year in Europa League final. I know Sevilla, it's their competition. I know they're, what is it, like eight winner? No, they're not eight. It's going to be like, it's less than that. Six?
Six, okay. Yeah, and they never lost the final.
Yeah, so, but if there's a man who can break the streak, Jose Mourinho, la 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 la, Jose Mourinho, la 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 la. He really knows how to rally the team, especially in cup competitions, and get them to play out of their mind. You know, the weekend it wasn't a great showing versus Salernitana 2-2, but I don't think that's, especially with the game gonna being like next Wednesday. I don't think it's demonstrative of what they can actually do. With that said, you still gotta take it seriously. Sevilla is a fantastic team. They're scary good when they want to be. So Mourinho is really gonna have to come up with amazing park to bus strategies if he wants something to work out. So hopefully he's able to get that for them. I also expect a big game from Tammy, especially last year. Like, he had a fantastic game. I think he's going to also do the same thing this time around. You know, it was Daniel who scored the goal. Tammy was one of the main drives behind it. But now, basically, they need something like that to happen again. They need to know when the opportunity presents itself to score that goal. So that's how I'm feeling for this game.
Yeah. And even Roma, I think they've never won it. It was only last year, right? Their first European
trophy. Yes, they lost.
So they never won the Europa League.
No, they lost in the Champions League final versus Liverpool in the 80s. Mm. The furthest they ever went after that was semifinals, and once again lost to Liverpool by a goal in 2018. Cup Winners' Cup was over when they won the Scudetto. I think that's about it. I don't think they ever made a Europa League final either. I think it's their first. Hold on, let me look that up.
Yeah, but anyways, they're gonna look for the first.
Yes.
And no, this is, yeah, it's gonna be a lot of storylines, obviously, in this one. And then, yeah. And then finally, Conference League, West Ham, Fiorentina, obviously, you know, pretty historic clubs. Like, you know, it's not two teams that nobody knows about. Like, they each have their place in their respective leagues. And, you know, they're not amongst the top teams in their respective leagues. They're not out here winning Scudetti and Premier League trophies. But they're respectable. They have a lot of history. Fiorentina probably has a bit more history than West Ham, but no, like, yeah, you know, after I think after losing this Coppa Italia, Fiorentina is gonna be super hungry. You know, to lose two finals in a same season is that would sting. So if anything, this is gonna motivate them even more. I think this game is a bit more of a toss up. I mean, so is the Roma and Sevilla, right? It really is a toss up.
Yeah.
You know, I think this could really go either way. What's interesting about the Conference League, we saw it last year, is that it's teams that aren't going to be out here winning Champions League. You know, obviously last year, Roma, first European trophy, and they played Feyenoord, right?
Was
it Feyenoord in the final?
Yeah, it was Feyenoord in the final, yes.
I forget if Feyenoord has won European trophies before, but like for these two teams, it's an opportunity of a lifetime to bring home European glory back to London or back to Florence, obviously two more historic cities. And Yeah, I'm gonna say Fiorentina just because they're gonna be super hungry from this, and if they could hang on to in a final against Inter, I think they could beat West Ham in a final.
Yeah, definitely. You said it perfectly before. Like, they're not gonna they're not gonna take a loss lightly from the Coppa Italia, and they do definitely want to at least go home with one trophy this season. So, I honestly have confidence in Italiano's team. This competition, they basically, I don't want to say steamrolled, but they really played well. Like, watching the game, one of the games live, just seeing how this team is miles and miles ahead of its competition. West Ham is probably going to be their first, like, respectable and super serious opponent. It's expected when this competition was created. We even said, like, when Roma was in the final last year, or when Roma was in the competition last year, we're like, oh, this is Roma's competition to lose, and they ended up winning it, you know? We called Roma, and what was it? Roma and what was that English team?
Leicester?
No, Leicester was the team that they ended up playing in the semis. But it was it's Tottenham. We're like, oh, this is Roma and Tottenham's trophy to lose.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
They were expecting both of them in the final, and Roma ended up in the final, right? And they ended up winning it. And now, obviously, the second year, we're like, okay, Fiorentina's definitely going to go far, because we know that they have a great manager in Italiano, and that they have a solid squad. And look, lo and behold, they're in the final as well. They have a great roster of players that just know how to play as a unit. They fit well with Italiano's system. He plays a very high pressing system, to the point where it's like every time an opposing player has the ball, there's three guys on him. So I think that fits perfectly well in this game, because I don't think West Ham's used to that kind of pressure. I think the Prem is just more of like a very aggressive, and a lot of players have space, whereas Italiano just takes away all that space. So I think this is his competition to lose, and it's pretty cool, because if Fiorentina wins, that's the second season in Conference League history, and it's a second Italian team that won, and it's a different Italian team. It shows the strength of the league, and it shows that, you know, even though some teams can be ranked 7th or 8th in our league, they still go towards the top in European competitions, that whenever they're in, they're there. So I know people are going to be like, oh, the league's weak, after I made that strength of the league comment, but I don't know, guys. I mean, if you look at the competition towards the rest, our managers for our league seem to know how to get the results when they need them. I honestly think it's our managers that are the big difference makers in these competitions. And the proof is in the pudding, as we see all three Italian teams in their respective European finals.
Yeah, that's everybody except for Allegri, apparently. West Ham, they did... Both West Ham and Fiorentina won Cup Winners' Cups in the 60s, and that's their only European
trophy.
That's
a respectable trophy.
Yeah,
that's a respectable.
Exactly. That was their only European trophies up until now. So one of those teams is going to get an extra trophy. I think we did get two comments on social media. Joseph from Couch Fan Blog said, do you think Inter will beat City in the Champions League final? We already discussed that. And then Inter Milan ED said, start Lukaku or not start Lukaku in finals? I say no, keep it as is, but shoulder shrug emoji. So do you think Inzaghi is going to go with Lukaku in the Champions League final?
You have to. I don't know. Like, you might... He's been using Martinez and Dzeko from the get-go. Never mind. If it's working, don't fix it. If it's not broken, don't fix it, type of thing. So I honestly think, yeah, you know what? Go with what's been working. Dzeko, Martinez has been great. Go for that. But Lukaku's definitely making an appearance towards maybe the 70th minute, 65th, 70th minute, because he knows how to score those game winners but those game sealing goals when you need them to.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna wrap it up by saying, like, I think Inzaghi's got a good grasp of how to utilize his squad, as you can see in recent results. And I think he's onto something. They're on a flow, Everything seems to be clicking at the right moment when they need them to. So I'm greatly confident in the lineup that Inzaghi's whatever he's gonna bring. I'm pretty sure it's gonna work without fail.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think based on what we saw today, I think he's gonna start Dzeko and Lautaro. Obviously, I mean it's June 10th, so that's still two weekends away from now. It's almost 3 weeks away. It's nearly 3 weeks away, and it's still a long time. Obviously, anything could happen between then. I feel like there's two Serie A games between now and then. Obviously, it's interesting because he's going to want to start those players. You know, they can't sit cold, right? It's not like this past weekend where he basically started all the backups, you know, knowing that there's a game on Wednesday. This is 2.5 weeks away. So obviously, you know, he's going to use these next two games to experiment. Obviously, they still want to clinch as high as possible in the standings. But at the same time, he doesn't want to overwork his players. He doesn't want to get his players injured. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does, even what Italiano does with Fiorentina until June 7th. Obviously, Roma's in a different position where they have their final first. And so I anticipate this weekend, everybody out. Ahead of the Europa League final on Wednesday, but no, it's gonna be interesting. I also wanted to ask you, Gianni.
Yes,
this is something I tweeted, and I know the guys from the Raff and Raff rant disagree with me. I said if Inter wins the Champions League, they're gonna be the best Italian team this season. Do you agree?
That's a loaded question because it depends on what. No, because it honestly depends on what you define as best Italian team. Domestic wise, overall performance, no, I wouldn't say that. They got hot at the right time and they won their games when they needed to win. And like we said, Inzaghi has been a great competition coach, getting them to the final in the Coppa Italia and Champions League final. Domestic performance, they haven't been great, but you could also argue the fact they neglected domestic performance that they can focus on cup competition. They made two finals, fair enough. I won't argue against that. If they win the Champions League, I'm not gonna argue that they would be in terms of best Italian team. I don't think they will be, but with that said, if Inter win the Champions League, it will definitely overshadow Napoli's Scudetto win. Everyone will talk about, you know, Napoli won the Scudetto, but you know, the casuals are all going to care about who won the Champions League. The non-fans of Serie A are going to talk about who won Champions League. Fans of other leagues are going to talk about who won Champions League. And if Inter win Champions League, that's all they're going to talk about. Even though Napoli, if Inter loses, then they'll talk about, oh yeah, Napoli finally won their first league title in 32 years, 33 years, sorry. But if we talk realistically, everyone has this mentality, even though recent history shows that Napoli is not a, quote, financially a small club, everyone considers Napoli in terms of history and trophies a small club. So for them, Napoli winning a league title is, oh, that's nice, but it's not a team that they fear or respect. Inter is that team that they fear or respect. And if Inter wins the Scudetto, the Champions League, I'm talking about the league too much. if Inter does win the Champions League, it will definitely overshadow Napoli's Scudetto. Now, if you're talking about actual performance overall in the season and all competitions and how the team has been on a whole, and would you say that they're the best Italian team? I would argue no.
I think, yeah, I guess that's fair. I think I'm just looking at it as in, if you're the best team in Europe, it means you're also the best Italian team. And then Napoli would be the best team in the Serie A. But, yeah, they still have to get there. I mean,
my counterpoint to that is, here's my counterpoint, and I'm going to have some fun with you, Nico. My counterpoint to that is, would you consider Milan the best Italian team because they won the most Champions League trophies
in ever?
Yeah.
Ever?
Exactly.
I mean, you could make an argument.
Hey, I mean, exactly.
You could.
That's but that's my point too.
Yeah. I mean, between Juve, Inter, Milan,
you could say Juve is the best team.
argue who's the best team ever, like in terms of trophies. You know, Juve fans are going to say, sorry?
No, because I was about to say, you could say the same thing, like Juve's the best team in Serie A because they have the most league titles.
I think that's
right. But if you want to argue internationally, Milan is miles and miles above both Inter and Juve combined.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why where I'm like, okay, if you want to use that point, then it leaves the door open for me to argue, isn't Milan the greatest Italian team ever then, for how much Champions League trophies they have? I'm just doing it to, like, you know, try to catch you on your off your feet there, off your guard.
Honestly, I wouldn't say no. It's a debate. And then, like, Juve will also say we won the most. Debate. Well, yeah.
I would say more of the – sorry for interrupting. I would say it's more of a debate between Milan and Juve, though. I wouldn't say it's a debate between Milan, Inter, and Juve. Inter's in the – but, like, if we're talking about between – it's always – it's between Milan and Juve.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, Daristi, that I live it listening.
Juve fans will say we won the most Coppa Italia Scudetti. Milan fans will say they won the most Champions League. And Inter fans will try to come in and say they won – they're the only Italian team with a treble.
Which is very respectable. Yeah. I mean – We said it last time. How many teams had won triplettes before?
I think seven, maybe. Not even. I'm going to look it up. Treble. No, not treble clef. I'm not looking up music. I'm not looking at music, Google. I'm not looking up for... No, not treble.
Oh, shoot.
Treble soccer.
Triplette calcio.
Treble, association football.
So it was like seven of them? It wasn't like
UEFA, in Europe, seven different teams have done it.
Yes,
nine times.
Yeah, we had this. So it was like it was one Dutch team. Oh my god, it was Ajax.
Two. There was Ajax, Eindhoven, and then Man U, Celtic, Inter, Bayern, and Barca.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Real has never done it. Real has never done it. But they won three in a row, but they never done it. Yeah.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, like what we said, if Inter in Champions League, like everyone's gonna, it's gonna definitely overshadow the Scudetto win. Obviously now, like, you know, when Napoli clinched the Scudetto, you know, it was all over the news. Now it's pretty dead. No one's really talking about it. Obviously they had the big win against Inter on the weekend. Obviously not this weekend, but the weekend after, when they do the Scudetto celebration, everyone's going to talk about it. Everyone's going to see the pictures, this and that. But if the weekend after Inter wins the Champions League, you're going to hear about it for the rest of the summer. Yeah. One last thing I wanted to ask you, Johnny. Two games left in the season. One, you know, I was seeing on Twitter today a lot of talk about, you know, Allegri's future with Juve. Obviously, no team's going to fire a coach now. Two games left. There's absolutely no point in doing that. You know, you just wait out the two remaining games. I think it's gotten to a point now with Juve where I don't see Allegri continuing. It's two seasons trophy-less. It's, you know, they went winning a Scudetto with 83 points, I believe, and then they had 78 points and then 70 points, and now they're on 69 points on the field, 59 points in the table. But even if they win the next two games, they're still going to have less points than what they had under Pirlo. So it's not good. It's not nice seeing a decline like that. I think there's a lot of issues right now with management. Obviously, the whole upper management is gone. So when a new management comes in, they're always going to want their own coach. Obviously, it leaves Allegri's future up in the air, even though he's owed a lot of money. But do you think there are other coaches who maybe... we won't see back next season with their own team?
Like, rumors are saying Spalletti, but
yeah, I don't know where all these rumors.
I don't know where all these came from. I honestly don't know where all these rumors came from. Like, even Spalletti has come out and said it himself, where he's like, you know, like, there's no like bad situation between me and De Laurentiis. You know, there's no like bad blood and whatnot. So it's really interesting to hear, to be honest with you. There's nobody else in A-League besides like Allegri up in the air. I honestly don't think there's anybody that... Hold on. No, I'm just going to the major list. Going through the standings. Maybe Pioli. because fans are right now, fans aren't happy, but it's iffy. Poor four. You would basically be firing him for his recent poor performances. If you look at his performances as a whole, he's been great.
Yeah,
Mourinho's
I was gonna say
like
Pioli could be up in the air.
I mean, like there's talks that Mourinho's butting heads with ownership, but he said himself a few times that he's also willing to stay for the full 3 years of his contract just to prove a point and show that his project is like actual real. And you know, if he wins the Europa League this year, I mean, that's two European trophies in 2 seasons. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? Like it's definitely a success. Gasperini with Atalanta, I think that guy's basically just cemented into that position. Allegri. Besides that, maybe like the bottom mid-table teams might shift their managers
Yeah, of
around here
course,
and
yeah.
there. But like in terms of like the top half of the table, my God, Fiorentina's in the bottom half of the table. I just realized this. Monza's an eighth. What's going on here? No, just
Definitely
kidding.
Paladino is not losing his job.
No. Honestly, like I'm not. Besides the top half, I don't. I really maybe Pioli. I think Sadi stays at Lazio, for one more, especially that he's been improving their performances year by year. There's no reason to fire him. If you fire him, you just basically ruin what you've built. Yeah, that's about it. If the
Yeah.
rumors are true, that's like with Spalletti, sure, but I really hope that doesn't happen. It doesn't make sense to me either. So, anyways.
Yeah, no, I yeah, Pioli's an interesting one because Milan's been going through a rough spell, so you know, it's like okay, yeah, they won the Scudetto last year, but nothing to show it for this season. They obviously lost in the Champions League semis against their rival. It really depends if he's lost the room or not. But yeah, I feel like Sadi, at the end of every season, there's always rumors of whether or not he's gonna stay. 'Cause he's, you know, even going back to his Napoli days, obviously with Juve, he only stayed the one season. This is what, his second season with Lazio.
No, I think it's his third.
Did he go straight from Juve to Lazio in 2020,
Yeah.
2021?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I believe it's his third.
Maurizio Sarri.
Yeah, it's been since 2021 that he's been managing Lazio.
So the beginning of last season, beginning like, so he took a year off basically in the 2020-2021 season. After he won the Scudetto, took the season off, and
Yeah,
came
you're right.
back.
It is the
Yeah.
second season. My God, it feels so
It
much.
feels long. You're right. You're right. So
It feels longer.
we'll see. But yeah, you're right. And bottom table, mid table teams. They're always switching. Maybe not Bologna. I don't see Bologna unless Motta goes to a bigger club. That between him and Paladino, even Italiano, those are maybe three names that could potentially go to bigger clubs. But I don't see that happening right now. If anything, it's Juve.
I don't think Italiano leaves Fiorentina. Like, I don't think he's ready yet to manage
No,
a
you're
bigger
right.
club. He's been doing well with the lower tiers, and now he's in terms of competitiveness. I don't want Fiorentina fans to get mad at me. I'm talking about in terms of competitiveness,
Yeah,
a
you're right.
mid-tier club in Fiorentina. You know, like I think it's so great for him, and he's finding success with that. I think he needs to maybe stay there for a year or two more. To get a nice, and then eventually get tested by a bigger team, a more upper tier team, because it's one thing to play against Conference League opponents and local opponents in the Coppa Italia, but when it comes to Europa League and Champions League, it's a whole different monster in my eyes. So,
No, exactly.
if they win the Conference League, that puts them in the Europa League position for next year, and that'll be great because they're not like in a good spot to get there. No, they're not definitely not they're not they're not getting there. Even if they win both games, they finish with 56, and sixth place Roma has 60. So the only way into Europa League for them would to win the Conference League. So if they do win it, that's a perfect time to see if he's truly ready for those upper tier teams. If he's not going to perform well, then that means he needs a bit more time. So I think he stays at Fiorentina, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, you're right. I don't think he's done enough to prove it yet, but we'll see. I think De Zerbi's another name that we'll see if he comes back to Italy. obviously spent some time outside Italy. He's in England now, doing some good things. A lot of rumors surrounding him with Juve. But, of course, summer, there's always madness. There's so many coaches switching. So we'll stay tuned for that. No point in over-speculating now. It's always fun to talk about, but there's so many different possibilities. But unless you had anything to talk about, anything else to talk about, Gianni, I think that'll do it here. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Everyone's gonna be like, "Wait, did the podcast glitch?" No. I wanted to make a stupid joke like Juve Merda, but that's so stupid and overdone. There's no point in doing it.
It's well done. You left meat on the grill too long.
No, exactly. No, but let's be all seriousness. Let's talk with all seriousness for a second. Let's put things together, and I'm not doing this in a sense of like, let's take this opportunity to trash Juve. It's not a talk to trash Juve. It's a talk to understand what the fuck's going on. So the minus 10 that they received on Monday, that is in relation to what, the Prisma case, or it's the appeal from that original like minus 15 that they had?
It's still the Plus Valenza. It's still related to that case. Basically. It makes
so
no sense.
But the appeal was minus, the original demand was minus 9.
Yeah, the original demand back in January is minus 9. They gave minus 15. They appealed. They said, no, this doesn't stand. They come back with minus 10. So,
because if they went with minus 9, they're in 6th point. They're in 6th place. Like that's what I feel like, as if it was probably intentional to give them minus 10, because the current position with minus 10 puts them solidifies them at 7th at the moment. You know, if it was minus 9, they tie Roma, but because they have more wins than Roma, they win the tiebreaker and they go into 6th. Like, I feel like fans like to argue a witch hunt. I'm not saying it's a witch hunt, but I do feel like as if it's like, I'll lean a bit into Juve for a bit, you know. The appeal was for the minus 9. Where are these minus 10s and 15s coming from? You said minus 9, make it minus 9.
Yeah.
Hey, don't get me wrong. Like, you make any minus points, I'm happy. But that's just me being a fan of an opposing team. But in terms of an actual, like, okay, let's be justified, fair, and logical, and by the book, which does not exist in Italy, if you're making for a case of minus 9 and you do find them guilty, go with the punishment that is demanded, which is minus 9. And then afterwards, if Juve says, okay, that's a bit too harsh, can we appeal for a less harsh penalty? Then you go from there. You know, that is where – because now Juve is going to be like, yeah, but you guys said minus 9, and I think they have another opportunity to make another appeal, no?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a real mess, honestly. Like, after the first minus 15, I really, like, paid attention. Oh, like, you know, what is this about? What's going to happen? This time it's like – The fact that it's twice now, we're 2 games away from the end of the season. Why not just finish the season and go back to court? Like, there's absolutely no need to do this with 2 games left, 3 games left. It was 15 minutes before kickoff on Monday against Empoli. But you're right. It makes no sense how it's like minus 15 appeal. The appeal ruled that the original punishment or court case, whatever, was inadmissible. And then what? I don't know if it was a new trial or whatever. I don't know exactly what happened. But now it's like, okay, here's minus 10. But we know Juve's just going to appeal again. So
yes, of course.
You know,
like I don't expect them to not appeal. Like, I expect them fully to appeal. Any team would appeal.
Yeah,
in this
situation. Exactly. And honestly, like, what I've been reading too is, if it gets to a certain date, this whole process, the punishment is just going to be applied for the start of next season. And at this point, just do that. Just do that.
That makes sense. But that's how it's always been. Yeah. And especially that you have to figure out who's playing in which competition.
Yeah.
The logistics of planning that and organizing that. That just might be problematic for Italy in the future, because UEFA can be like, well, look, you guys didn't let us know who's supposed to be playing in Conference League or whatever, so we're going with the original teams, and that's that. to stop logistics, even though, because then afterwards fans are going to argue, yeah, but it should have been us in the competition and blah, blah, blah. And then people are just going to lose their shit on Twitter. What else is new? But
yeah,
I will throw Juventini a bone, and I will lean a bit into them that they're kind of right to say, like, this is ridiculous, where there's just a random ass number being slapped on as a punishment. Do I think that they were guilty of manipulating numbers? Yes. Do I think that it's ridiculous the punishments that they're receiving? Also, yes. If there's been previous cases where, you know, teams that have been value manipulating, we said it was Torino a few years ago, right?
Chievo
Verona. Yeah.
They got like Verona. -3 or something.
Wasn't there a team that also received -9?
I don't know.
But like, if there's previous history with previous results, it should be like, go with what the score also said. Like, it's not the score. What the previous results also, yeah. like, do give them the same punishment. Use that as an example. If not, go with what you originally asked for, which was -9. It's ridiculous. I do think that they are being taken for a ride here, and it's all a bit back and forth, but. You know, some people won't give them any sympathy, which is, I mean, fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
All in all, though, I spoke to a lawyer friend of mine. I'll bring it up. I think I said it in a previous episode, but I'll say it again. He's from Napoli, and he moved here to Canada about 3 years ago. And I had discussions with him. He used to be a lawyer in Italy. And he's not a lawyer here because obviously they don't recognize the same license.
Law, yeah.
But he said that one of the things he hated about courts in Italy in general is that they don't use previous court cases and results as basis of arguments and basis of punishments. They treat each case individually. You can use it as reference or as an example, but it would never hold. Like it you'd be like, okay, cool, thanks for letting us know, but this case is different. Like, every case is its own case.
Yeah,
they have that mentality in Italy that each case is its own case and is treated differently no matter what history has stated. So I guess that kind of makes sense that, you know, Juve is getting this phantom -10 because, you know, history has shown that teams that have done this number manipulation haven't received just -10 points. They've received much less, or just less in that case. Anyways. Yeah,
it's interesting that you say that because I know that, you know, we're not obviously not getting into too many details, but I know a Canadian law system is based on precedents called common law, and it just builds up, you know, judges, when they rule, they just look at all the past decisions of the same kind, and, you know, you rule on that. But no, that's interesting. And even what Mourinho said, you know, it also affects other teams at this point. Because, you know, with the top four, top six, top seven race so close, you know, teams, especially like Milan, they were in fifth. You know, they're focusing on getting in top four. And they have this mentality of you know, working hard to get there. And then suddenly there's a point ruling and now they are in top four. But, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with them? If Juve gets a 10 points back, they're in fifth. So, you know, how much it's going to play on their mentality. It was playing on Roman's mentality. So it is a bit of a joke in terms of the league. You know, we already saw it. Like I said, we saw it happen once in January. You know, we're so close to the end of the season. Just wait it out. And we know what's going to happen at the end. It's going to continue all summer. It's going to continue until basically UEFA steps in and decides what teams are going to play in the competitions next season. And, yeah, it's a bad situation. At this point, just slap Juve with a heavy fine. Make them pay back all the profits they made. But yeah, thank you for bringing that up though, Jenny. I didn't really want to know what to say about it because it was just stupid. But I think you said it perfectly.
Yeah, like it's the inconsistencies that are frustrating, and I do have to kind of agree with Mourinho that it is ridiculous. Like I said. Like, people don't get it twisted. I'm not, like, I'm just being sympathetic because I'm a logical soccer fan here. Obviously, as a supporter of a rival team, bah, Juve gets relegated to Serie B, I don't care. But in all seriousness, like if because I put myself in their shoes, and I'd be like, if this would be happening to Roma or Napoli, I'd be kind of irritated and pissed off too, because it's like, okay, fine, you find us guilty, but why does it have to be a random ass number, not something that you originally requested for, or similar to previous situations? So that's just me.
I think that'll do it for us. Find us on social media at The Calcio Guys, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Listen to us on all your favorite podcasting platforms, Streamer, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. Johnny, how did I do in Adriano's spot there?
First of all, you didn't say thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to all the guys who support us and listen to our show, making us want to do the things that we do. Thank you for your love and support. That's me trying to do my best Adrian impression. No, you did a great job. I gave it an 8/10.
Okay, good. But seriously,
I want you to imitate me saying bye. Let's go.
Ciao. Bye.
All right, no. You have to finish up the show, and I'll show you how to do it.
The Calcio Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas DiGiovanni. We want to bring Calcio back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Calcio Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The outro song is The Last Ones by Jazar.